The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
It's time, ladies, because this life is not a dress rehearsal, so we need to seize every opportunity God gives us. Join thousands at the 2016 Love Life Women's Conference. Don't miss the fun with Christine Kane.
You go, girls. You did not give up. You did not stop. You continue to carry the baton of faith.
Beth Moore.
I'm redeemed by Jesus Christ. What does that mean to us besides everything?
And Joyce Meyer.
Why don't you stop looking at what everybody else does and comparing yourself to them and start realizing you can do something nobody else can do?
Worship with Carrie Jobe and Lauren Daigle. And a special message about America by Dave Meyer. Learn how to live a life of purpose on purpose at the 2016 Love Life Women's Conference. September 29th through October 1st. So go on, girl. Register today.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. I'm so glad that you've joined us. You know, we've been trying to do some little Bible studies on the air where I'm just trying to go through some scriptures with you and occasionally and teach you that it's not that hard to study the Bible. It's really not that hard to study the Bible. Actually, the Word of God is very, very practical. I think what we do sometimes is we read it too fast and then we're done and we think, well, I don't even know what I got out of that. So let's just look at it in sections or maybe a verse at a time and try to glean what we really believe that God might be saying to us for our everyday lives. And today we're going to take a very familiar group of scriptures that you've probably read many times, but today hopefully you're going to learn something you didn't know before, and that is Psalm 91. What a psalm of comfort. It starts out and it says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand." Now we're going to stop right there, and boy, I can get a lot of lessons out of that. The Amplified Bible is the translation that says that if we dwell in the secret place, which, by the way, is the presence of God. It's dwelling in the presence of God. And it doesn't, you know, to dwell and live in the presence of God doesn't mean, it's a lot more than just like going to church once a week or going to a Bible study once a week. To dwell means to live and remain. And like, I dwell in my house. You know, most of you wouldn't say you dwell at your job. You go to your job, you go home, but you have a dwelling place. You have a place that you live. And God wants us to learn to dwell and to live in His presence and to be aware of Him on a regular basis, because the Bible says that He's with us all the time. And we're going to talk a little bit more in a minute about some of the benefits of that secret place. But first of all, it says that he that dwells in the secret place shall remain stable and fixed. Now, I don't know about you, but I went through a lot of years in my life where I didn't feel like I had much stability. I was kind of up and down with my circumstances. If my circumstances were up, then I was in a good mood. And if my circumstances were down, then I wasn't in a very good mood. If my circumstances were good, I'd be easy to get along with. And if my circumstances were bad, then I wasn't very easy to get along with. And I think there's a lot of people today that are unstable. They're led by their emotions more than they're led by the Word of God. And the thing that we have to realize is, first of all, we can't be led by the Word of God if we don't know the Word of God. And we can't, we're not going to have this kind of stability if we don't ever spend any time with God. So let me just share a couple of other scriptures with you that talk about dwelling in the presence of God. In Psalm 94:13, it says that God will continue to let us go through different things until we learn how to keep ourselves calm in the day of adversity. And I like that. You know, God's not going to come along and just do it all for me. He shows me what to do, but He actually gives us the fruit of self-control so we can learn to control ourselves. And just in case you think that you can't control yourself, one of the things that I've learned is things that I might do in front of my family. Like, I might lose my temper and say something negative in front of my family, but if there was somebody there that I really wanted to impress or I wanted them to think well of me, it's amazing what kind of control we can get over ourselves if we're concerned about what somebody's going to think of us. And so the truth is, we need to be able to believe this, is we can control ourselves if we want to. So I think, if nothing else, just the gift of being stable is worth so much, because how awful is it to always be in a position where your circumstances are controlling you? You never know on any given day what may happen that day. And so we want to be able to handle whatever comes with good temper. And you know, that's what the Apostle Paul taught the people at the church of Colossae. He said he didn't pray for their problems to go away. In chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, he didn't pray for their problems to go away. He prayed that they would learn to keep themselves calm, and also that they would handle whatever came with good temper. Now, wouldn't that be good to just say, you know what? I can be in a good mood. I can be stable. I can keep my temper steady no matter what comes along. You know, it's one thing to always be asking God to remove your problems. It's another thing to ask God to keep you stable in the midst of those problems. What really is the greatest miracle? Is the greatest miracle in our life for God to arrange all of our circumstances where nothing ever disturbs us and everything goes the way we want it to every single day? Or is it a greater miracle? Is it even a greater proof that God is present in our lives if we can have many of the same things that go on in everybody else's lives, and yet we stay peaceful, we stay calm, we stay joyful, we continue to reach out to other people and help them? I think we both know it's the stability. So I'm asking you today, our viewers, to make stability a goal in your life. Now you see, some of you might be thinking, wow, that's only the first verse, Psalm 91:1, and you got all that out of that. Yes, it's amazing what really is in the Word of God if we will just look at it. You know, Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. Cheer up, for I have overcome the world. That's John 16:33. So he's saying everything's not going to go the way you want it to, but you can be joyful in the midst of it. And I believe right now that there's some people watching and you need what I have just said, because you've got something going on in your life right now that you don't like. And honey, you were not in a good mood when you turned this program on. And now you can just say, well, you know what? I'm just going to cheer up and I'm going to calm down and I'm going to stay stable. And the way you do that is by going to God. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. So you just take the time to go to him and say, God, I need you to strengthen me in this situation and help me to stay calm and to represent you the way that I should. Amen? All right, verse 2, pressing on. Second thing that this teaches us is, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. So, what are you saying of God? What do we say in good times? That's really not all that important. Anybody can say the right thing when everything's going their way. What do we say in disappointment, in difficulty, when things don't seem fair, when it seems like we're not being treated right? You know what God wants to hear us say in those times? Father, I trust you. That's all. He doesn't even want to hear, why, God, why? Oh, me, why am I being treated this way? He certainly doesn't want to hear, oh, God, don't you love me? That's the worst thing in the world we can say, because God doesn't have to prove his love to us by keeping every single thing in our lives perfect all the time. And so God wants to hear us say all the time, this doesn't feel good, I don't like it, but I trust you. I trust you. I believe that somehow or another this is going to work out for good in my life. This is going to work out in my life to make me a better person. This would not be happening to me if you couldn't work it out for good, because you are good. And even though the thing isn't good, and God didn't necessarily bring the thing into your life, God can work good out of anything. So what do we say of the Lord? I think that's so, so important. And you know, I love what Hebrews 4:14 says. It says that we're to hold fast our confession of faith in him. Hold fast your confession of faith in him. It's easy to say, I trust you when things are going good, but to say, I trust you when they're not, that's another story. And then also, I love John 14:30, where Jesus was about to go into his greatest time of suffering. He was going to have his time in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he suffered so much, and he knew that that meant that he was getting ready to go to the cross because he knew ahead of time the way that he was going to need to suffer. And he actually said to his disciples, and I love this, I will not be talking much more with you from now on. Because the wicked one comes and he has no part in me. So the way I look at that is, well, what was he saying? You know, I actually think sometimes when we're having a lot of pressure and trouble in our lives, the best thing we can do is just keep quiet. I mean, we tell our kids sometimes, well, if you can't say something positive, then don't say anything at all. Well, I wonder who needs that advice maybe sometimes as much as our kids do. Uh-huh. And I believe that if we will learn in difficulty to stay stable, keep the same confession. See, I think that one of the greatest goals of a believer is to be the same way in hard times as you are in good times. To be the same way you are in the valley as you are on the mountaintop. Is it easy? No, it's definitely not easy. But just because something's not easy, that doesn't mean that it can't be done. And that doesn't mean that it's wrong to talk to somebody and tell them what you're going through. But you know, honestly, there's a positive way to talk about your problems and a negative way to talk about your problems. And I know as a woman, sometimes we just want to share how we feel, but we need to always follow that up. First of all, let me say, we don't need to do it excessively. You know, we don't need to just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, 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 talk. And everybody we see, talk, 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 talk. But if you need to share with somebody, get prayer, do that. But you can always say, but I believe that God is going to work this out for my good.